Veci. ועכשיו, קמפוס הקצה.
כל הסופש.
Yo, Gil Shady, big up yourself, big Gangzilla Sasa, every time, you hear that, trust. Yo, Gil Shady, big up yourself, big Gangzilla Sasa, every time, you hear that, trust. Yo, Gil Shady, big up yourself, big Gangzilla Sasa, every time, you hear that, trust. Yo, Gil Shady.
שבת שלום, קמפוס הקצה, קייזי רדיו דוט נט, אהלן לכולם. יא יא יא, אתם איתי על מה הדיבור, גיל שלי דגן כאן איתכם מישראל הפעם, מנצל ביקור קצרצר בארץ, כדי באמת להגיע לכאן, לאולפן הקצה, שתמיד כיף להיות בו. אז אנחנו כאן איתכם, ואני אעבור לאנגלית, כי יש לי היום אורח מיוחד ומעניין שהגיע כל הדרך מארצות הברית של אמריקה. אז הפעם גם כן התוכנית תהיה באנגלית. So our program today would be a bit unusual since I have a guest from the US who came to Tel Aviv in order to speak at a conference organized by Students for Liberty, an international student organization I'm also taking part of. And they have an organization he and his wife and great more people called Free the People that does great stuff to promote ideas of liberty. And my guest today here, we talk mostly about how can ideas be promoted through culture. Hello, Matt Kibbe.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really glad to have you here in Israel. Maybe you can tell a bit about yourself and about Free the People.
So I'll start with Free the People. Our idea as libertarians was to take our ideas, the philosophy and the economics and all of the big words we use to describe the philosophy of freedom and translate it into stories, into fun videos, into sort of cultural touchstones mm-hmm. that could connect with people that weren't into these ideas, didn't know anything about them, but loved to consume popular culture.
Mm-hmm. And you also had you were part of an organization called Freedom Works.
Yes.
That was a continuum for an organization called Citizens for a Sound Economy, which is an interesting name.
Yeah.
Does it have anything to do with sound and music or
No, it didn't. There was always an attempt to engage citizens in the process of governance, and that, you know, my training is as an economist. I studied Austrian economics at George Mason University, mm-hmm. and I started off wanting to be a professor, but George Mason is very close to Washington, D.C., and
right.
I got drawn into policy and politics and all the things that happened there. And we were very much studying the tactics of the left and the way that they organize people. They were community organizers. And I thought we should do that. And I thought that the values of liberty would be something that could and should be very popular with the people. So Citizens for a Sound Economy and later Freedom Works, we were community organizers, just like Barack Obama, but with a different set of
right,
ideas.
Right, right, right. And getting back to the music, I started this program with the song I chose called I Am That I Am by Peter Tosh, but I find it very fitting to the ideas we're going to talk about today. But when I asked you about music for the program, you immediately mentioned Rush.
Yeah.
Now, I guess most of our listeners know Rush and like their music, but maybe not for the same reasons you like them or the inspiration that you got from them.
Yeah, I should qualify this by saying I have a very broad set of musical tastes, and generally I find music to be very consistent with the philosophy of individualism and not conforming to sort of a one size fits all plan that anyone would have for your life, and you certainly hear that in Peter Tosh, and reggae was raging against the machine long before Rush was, but Rush is a band that I discovered when I was 13 years old, and they were very much influenced by the ideas of Ayn Rand when they were younger.
Yeah.
And their album 2112 was my gateway to discovering Ayn Rand's small novel Anthem. So they are responsible, and it's interesting, by the way, that it was music and reading the liner notes on an album that led me to read a small novel by Ayn Rand, and eventually, much later, I would start reading like about the philosophy and the ideas and the economics. But it was culture that was my gateway to understanding how the world works.
All right, and we're gonna start. We're gonna play a lot of Rush today. We're gonna start with a song called Anthem, which is talks about exactly that. All right, let's hear it.
We'll be right back.
very, very powerful. As I told you, I never listened to the lyrics until yesterday when we picked the playlist for the program. But maybe you can tell us more about the story behind your story with the album 2112, and how it exposed you to the ideas that you promote in present.
Yeah, I tell this story a lot to young people because it sort of shows the opportunity we have because of technology. But when I was in, I guess it was high school or maybe it was even grade school, I was walking past the study hall and someone was playing a Rush album, actually a live album called All the World's a Stage. And I just loved the sound, and it was like nothing I'd ever heard before. So I set out to a record store to find it. And of course they didn't have that because back in the days of bricks and mortar record stores, they didn't have much of anything. And and somebody other than yourself had decided that these few albums were the ones that you could choose from. But they did have an album called 2112, and it had this cool red star in the cover. And it just, for a 13-year-old, I just thought it looked really cool. So I took it home, I put it on. It's totally the kind of music I was into, but you know, back when I was a kid, you read the liner notes, and I was reading the liner notes, and this album happens to be dedicated to the genius of Ayn Rand, and I had no idea who that was. I thought it was a guy. I was like, who's that dude? But I was so into the album, and the entire song cycle 2112 is essentially a reinterpretation of the novella anthem. In space.
Yeah.
So it's like a space odyssey where there's really bad authoritarians trying to tell everyone how to live their lives. So once I found a copy of Anthem, I just followed those breadcrumbs and read all of those books.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a concept album, and I really like the albums that tell stories throughout the songs.
Yeah.
And which song you think is the most, I don't know, radical in its lyrics in that album?
Well, you know, the song cycle itself and a song we're about to play is very much a rage against the machine, against authoritarianism, the idea that some central planner could decide for you what kind of music you liked, what you would read and what you would hear. There's that, and then we're going to play a second song from the album called Something for Nothing that... Mm-hmm. is pretty much straight up philosophy. If you want to achieve something in your life, take responsibility for yourself, work really hard, and you can get there.
All right. So this one is actually from the Chronicles of 2112. It's called Temples of Syrinx. You want to tell a bit of the story behind the specific song?
So this song is, and he's screaming throughout this song because he is the voice of the priests of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And the priests of the temple in this fictional story have redesigned a polite and civil society from the top down, and they dictate every aspect of your life, including the music that you listen to. And that sets up the conflict with the main character. And they're just talking about how wonderful it is that they've planned everybody's lives for them.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's hear it. Temples of Syrinx.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm here with Matt Kibbe from Free the People, talking about how music and culture can like promote or help to promote ideas. And we had an interesting conversation about the debate between like Russia's music and Grateful Dead while the previous song was played. Maybe we can tell listeners a bit about that because it's interesting.
Yeah, so I think Rush was one of the first bands that I really loved, and their style is incredibly complex. They're amazing musicians, and they're technical perfectionists. So if you went to see that song in concert, they would want to play it exactly the way they played it in the studio. Apparently, for certain types of musicians, being able to actually play Neil Peart's drum parts for this song is a test as to whether or not you've made it. But it's all pre-planned. Whereas the Grateful Dead and any good jazz musician, we were talking about reggae over the break, all of that is more spontaneous. And there's a few rules that guide a good Grateful Dead song, but there might be up to 10, 15 minutes of improvisation.
Yeah.
And weirdness between the beginning and the ending of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, that was always a beautiful metaphor for how the market process works and how Free People in cooperation and collaboration and improvisation are actually able to figure out complex problems. And you can't predict beforehand how it's actually going to happen, but afterwards it looks like order.
Yeah. And it's very, very interesting because like usually when I think about promoting ideas through culture and like through music, I think about the lyrics, basically.
Yeah.
But it's not only that. There is a lot more behind it.
Yeah, I was considering just playing a 35-minute John Coltrane song for this show, which I love John Coltrane, who I was introduced to by Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead. It was a very important influence on his life, and I think a long, beautiful John Coltrane song is a perfect metaphor for sort of the beautiful chaos of people striving and interacting, competing, disagreeing, and eventually coming to some consensus about the way forward. And you know, we that believe in freedom, we sometimes struggle with explaining how it is that freedom works itself out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think music, and particularly improvisational music, is a great metaphor for that.
All right. We're going to hear another song by Rush called Something for Nothing. You want to tell about
this is the song that closes out the album 2112. And again, heavily influenced by Rand. If Anthem was really about entrepreneurship and taking risk and working hard to get where you want to be, Something for Nothing is a cautionary tale about if you don't take that responsibility, no one's going to do it for you, and you're just going to be frustrated and disappointed with your life. So you don't get something for nothing. You don't get freedom for free.
Yeah, there is always a cost, and like without your self responsibility, you cannot make it anywhere.
Yeah,
that's a lot of what reggae is talking about as well. But yeah. We have an unusual guest today, so we're going to hear this unusual music, at least in regards of my show, but all good. It's great. Let's hear it. Something for Nothing.
Waiting for על הקצה.
אתם מאזינים לקמפוס הקצה, כל הסופש.
כל מי שעדיין איתנו ולכל מי שהצטרפו, שלום לכולם, hey everyone. We are on What's the Talk radio show with me, Gil Sheli Dagan, and I'm having my very special guest today in studio, Matt Kibbe, who came to speak about how we can promote ideas through culture and through music especially. So we're playing mostly songs by Rush today. And I hope that like what we say about those songs makes you rethink about the lyrics and everything behind it. You also have your own podcast, a very interesting one, Matt, called Kibbe on Liberty, in which you have like various types of guests and you talk about many different things. One thing I like particularly is that you bring economists or philosophers to talk not only about economics and philosophy, but about different aspects in life, such as culture and ideas behind it. For example, I really liked when you talked with Jeffrey Tucker and you mentioned like concerts and how music and concerts are connected to economics.
He in particular, like he's obviously an economist by training and an Austrian economist, but he loves to talk about culture, and the smallest little things give him joy in life, like an Uber driver that decided to pick him up even though the weather was bad and it was snowing. And his theory is that markets are really about love.
Yeah.
And that sort of mutually beneficial exchange, and how people will go out of their way to serve somebody else because they know that there's an appreciation for what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we've had comedians and musicians and philosophers and even the occasional politician. But probably the one thing I want to accomplish with the podcast is just a tone of respect and curiosity, because so much social media today, so much that you watch political commentators on TV, they're, you know, the market is all about shouting at each other and you know, probably mocking your political and philosophical adversaries as not smart people. And I don't find that compelling. I don't find it to be serious. So I've even had one of my progressive friends on. He was brave enough to come on the show, and you know, we disagree on a lot of things, but I think it's interesting to find common ground where you can, and to beat a dead horse here, mm-hmm. usually that common ground is cultural. Usually there's some shared human value that has nothing to do with how someone voted in the last election. It's mm-hmm. going to be a song. It's going to be a shared experience. It might be a meal that people had. That's where the connection is.
I've heard you saying that even though like your views of how the economy should be would be considered as capitalism, you don't like the word personally, because you know I guess it's because it's more important like the essence of the ideas and not the slogans.
Yeah.
Words
can be corrupted and meanings can be different to different people. Language is a lot like music. It evolves and morphs into something else.
Yeah. But yet another problem is that many people are actually afraid of freedom because they see freedom as like a cause of chaos. So what do you have to say to them?
Yeah, I think that's a big challenge for those of us that believe in freedom, is that the future is uncertain, but people that promise you a guaranteed future honestly are lying to you, because nobody knows exactly what is going to happen tomorrow. That's the nature of the human existence. We're in this process, discovery or whatever it is that we're heading for, and you have to be open to that discovery process. Otherwise, beautiful things don't happen. And yes, there's risk, and yes, there's uncertainty. But I think everything that we love in life comes from that uncertainty and risk and the discovery of something beautiful that we didn't know existed until we ventured out to find it.
Definitely, definitely. And like, we usually focus on like the how beautiful it is in the individual like, I don't know, point of view, but not in the, we don't see the big picture that it can actually work.
And we were talking about the way that musicians communicate with each other on stage over the break. And I think that's another thing that's really important. Libertarians and all these Rush songs that I played so far are really sort of a primal cry of individualism. I want to be myself. I want to pursue my dreams as I see fit. But the flip side of that coin is cooperation and community, and what we do together is potentially so much more profound than anything we could do on our own. And mm-hmm. these are not opposing things. These start with individual dreams and people coming together. But I think we libertarians have to talk more about community.
Definitely. And how we can function as individuals within a community.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear another song by Rush. It's called The Trees. You want to say anything about it?
Yeah, this is it's an allegory between the oaks and the maples, and it's I think it's the word probably didn't exist at the time, but it's a critique of social justice, where one group is feeling oppressed because another group is succeeding, and the solution is to punish everybody.
Very interesting. Let's hear it.
Thank you. There is unrest in the forest, there is trouble with the trees, for the maples want more sunlight and the oaks ignore their pleas.
Very nice song, and as you're saying, they actually went through a process during their career or their musical career. So how did it influence like their music?
So they had it. 2112 was their first commercially successful album, and their label didn't want them to make that album. But the music critics just trashed it, and not because of the music itself, but because they wrongly equated libertarianism with as a right-wing ideology.
Mm-hmm.
One infamous critic actually called them a bunch of Nazis, which was was particularly hurtful given that both of Geddy Lee's parents had survived concentration camps as children.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Neil Peart, the writer of the lyrics and the guy that was so influenced by Rand, eventually focused less on these broad philosophical subjects and started talking about you know, personal stuff. And I think the next song we're going to play at least hints at that evolution. And he would eventually end up calling himself a bleeding heart libertarian, which I think is redundant personally, because I think libertarianism is a very compassionate and community-based philosophy, but the caricature, the critics on the left would say otherwise.
I actually want to ask you about that before we play the next song. You know, there are a lot of problems regarding criticism about like when you promote ideas and ideology in terms of politics or public life. You immediately being wrapped up in a box and people say certain things about you. How do you challenge personally with critics?
You know, I've been using the word libertarianism, but I generally don't like isms.
And I
don't like being put in a box because I think it's easy to mischaracterize and oversimplify your views. And I like drawing influences. I'm equally influenced by Jerry Garcia and Ayn Rand, and maybe that sounds weird, but I think it makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the way to do that, and we talked earlier about capitalism and socialism, all of these isms have preconceived definitions based on who you're speaking to. And I think it's better to talk about the stories of people and the values that we have in common. And that sort of breaks away some of these barriers where people, when we talk about politics, when we talk about ideology, we sort of choose teams and stop listening to each other. But if we talked about stories or music or values, these are things that actually tear down those barriers and where we can find common ground even when we didn't think there was any.
That's great. I'm gonna hear Vital Signs by Rush.
Life in that
That's the closest one we had to reggae today, besides Peter Tosh. That's great. I said it really reminds me of Police, and very interesting. And that's going to be actually the one before the final song and the final Rush songs that we will are playing today. I wonder before we wrap it up, what do you think about the current political and general situation in the U.S.?
It's funny that song sort of talked about the friction of human interaction, and I feel like politics in the United States has become almost violent in its rhetoric.
Yeah.
and even violent in the streets. Like there's the kind of violence in the United States in street protests that used to be confined to Europe and other countries, and it's kind of heartbreaking to me. I think we need to spend a little more time listening to each other. And which is why, like, it'd be good to sort of avoid red versus blue, conservative versus liberal, capitalism versus socialism, and talk about values and problems and solutions that we might have in common. And I think we as libertarians have a potential solution, because we believe that people of all different origins and preferences and you know, where your parents came from and where you worship and all of these things, that we tolerate all of that as long as you don't hurt people or take their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we solve these problems, is by learning to at least tolerate and potentially respect fellow human beings that have different preferences, essentially.
Do you have any message for our Israeli listeners from the, you spent a few days here, so you felt the ground, you felt what's going on here?
Yeah. I think you guys live in a particularly complex world, which is the understatement of the year, but one of the reasons I'm here is to learn and to appreciate the challenges that you guys face on a daily basis. Because frankly, a lot of Americans don't know what it's like to be unsafe. They don't know what it's like to be hungry, and they don't know what it's like to face oppressive and violent government. We're pretty spoiled in that sense. So one of the things that Terry and I do is we spend a lot of time traveling around the world, speaking to other people and other cultures, and usually with a libertarian organization.
Terry is your wife, just for those who don't know.
Yes.
And you work together, and actually you travel together here.
Yes, she's my boss and my wife, and my boss and my wife.
Does it work good it works great for you guys.
Yeah, we have a blast. We've been married since we were 21, and we've been together for a very long time. We've both worked in different ways in the liberty movement. And we get to get up every morning and do something that we love, and we work really hard, but we feel like we at least have the opportunity to make a difference in some small way. And I think that's a real blessing for anybody.
It is. It's a real, real blessing. And how can people follow what you do, what your activity?
So you can find us on YouTube, on Facebook, on virtually all social media, or you could go to our website, which is essentially a channel for all of our video content. It's all organized at freethepeople.org.
Mm-hmm.
And we primarily produce video content, some of which is serious and substantial intellectual conversations. Others are fun and silly. We do a lot of videos about beer, which I think is a perfect metaphor for
freedom,
entrepreneurial freedom.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mike Kibbe, thank you so much for coming here today.
It's been a pleasure.
It is. It is, definitely. And we will end up with a David Bowie song, actually, called Heroes, about the fall of Berlin Wall.
Yes, it's a song that was really instrumental, actually, in the actual fall of the Berlin Wall, which is how music can, in fact, improve politics and even bring tyrannical governments to their knees.
Yes. We just say thanks to our team, Omer Senesh, Sapir Cohen, Ben Esh, Liya Shpigel, Nir Limor, Michlet, BPM, וצוות הקמת האתר החדש, כבר לא כל כך חדש. תודה רבה לקואמי, תודה רבה לעדי נוי, כל האנשים הטובים כאן בקצה. אנחנו נשתמע בקרוב עם דיבור אחר לחלוטין, זה הולך להיות בשבוע הבא, אני אהיה כאן, ואחריי נמרוד קיפי אלברטל, אז אל תלכו לשום מקום, בינתיים נשאיר אתכם עם זה, תודה רבה, בלס. Forever and